To see today's photo, go to mtforchrist.org or follow me, MT Clark, on Facebook or Twitter. Good morning. Today's photo of a late afternoon sun perfectly captured between the clouds over Waite Road in Easton, New York, comes to us from yours truly as I decided to go off-road to capture a different perspective of the setting sun that was bathing me in sunlight as I was making my return trek back to my countryside home as I was out walking the dog yesterday. It was the last moments at my countryside home, and I could have made the decision to tell my canine pal Harley that he would have to rely on someone else to take him out because I had to hit the road to Riverhouse, but I didn't. And the Lord blessed us with a spectacular display of his creative beauty. So let that be a lesson to us to try to always do what is good, because while it may not happen every time, when we decide to act selflessly rather than selfishly, the Lord sees it and often gives us something that is more valuable than what we would have gotten by going our own way. My life is a living testimony of God's goodness, and let me assure you that his way is the best way. In fact, it is ultimately the only way, and whatever sacrifice we may be called to make in this life when we decide to follow the Lord, the rewards we receive for being in harmony with God are more than worth it, and this magic moment is just one more piece of evidence to support my case. If I didn't choose to serve by walking the dog, I don't see this and miss out on the peace and joy it gave me. Well, it's Monday again, and while most of us will be back to work today, I am using my last carryover vacation day from 2022 to give me a two-day weekend, despite the fact that I had to work on Saturday. And it is my hope that things will begin to normalize a bit after February's travel-filled days that kept me on the road for most of the month. But that's the thing about life in general and walking in the Spirit specifically. We keep going, and whatever we are called to do or deal with, or wherever we are called to go, we do our best to follow the Lord as we go. Because we know that when we walk in his ways and stay in his presence, there is peace and joy, no matter what we face or where we may roam. Speaking of roaming, we are currently in the midst of a series that has us walking with a true 20th century saint as we resume the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as we discovered this path just in time for Lent, and now enter into day 11. As we will say each day of this journey, we take this path to mark the season of Lent, and to draw closer to God in anticipation for the celebration of Easter, knowing that if we take this journey of repentance seriously, the Lord will use it to change us too. You can sign up to get this devotional yourself by going to the Bible Gateway link on the blog. And without further ado, it's day 11. And Bonhoeffer writes, "Disciples live with not only renouncing their own rights, but even renouncing their own righteousness. They get no credit themselves for what they do and sacrifice. The only righteousness they can have is in hungering and thirsting for it. They will have neither their own righteousness nor God's righteousness on earth. At all times, they look forward to God's future righteousness, but they cannot bring it about by themselves. Those who follow Jesus will be hungry and thirsty along the way. They are filled with longing for forgiveness of all sins and for complete renewal. They long for the renewal of the earth and for God's perfect justice." End quote. Today's biblical wisdom comes from Matthew 5:6, as Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And today's questions to ponder begins with the question, what could it mean to renounce your own righteousness? One way we could renounce our own righteousness is to accurately recognize our tendency to sin and inability to be perfect as Christ is, and to admit that the only goodness or righteousness we have comes from God, as he has shown us the light of what goodness and righteousness is in his word and in the person of Jesus Christ. So, if we are commended for righteous acts that we perform or think well of ourselves for the good works we do, we should renounce our own righteousness and remind ourselves and others that it is because of God alone that we have any righteousness at all. We thus would simultaneously humble ourselves and give glory to the one who deserves it. The second question is, why do disciples have neither their own righteousness nor God's righteousness on earth? Is that a reason for pessimism or cynicism? Well, as I wrote above, our own righteousness, whatever that is, comes from the knowledge we have of God. Whether someone is saved or not, any righteousness we have comes from the Creator God, who made the standard from which we can call something good or evil. So any righteousness we have is thus not our own. But at the same time, even though the little amount of righteousness we may have comes from our knowledge of God, we can't say we have God's righteousness on the earth, because invariably we will fall short of the sinless perfection that Christ emulated. We won't have the perfect righteousness of Christ, and so we don't have God's righteousness, although in another sense we do, as Christians, have Christ's righteousness imputed to them, making them justified and sanctified to God. While some could look at the fact that we won't be perfect like Jesus is perfect, as bad news, we don't have to be pessimistic or cynical about our efforts at righteousness, because God will lead us to grow in maturity and sanctification as we follow him. Sure, we may not be able to claim God's righteousness in its perfection, but we can grow in it as we repent of the things that God reveals to us that need to be changed and increase our capacity for holiness. Matthew 5:6 told us that, you know, we'll be blessed for the, you know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be blessed. So we should probably not pessimistically throw off our hunger for it. We should pursue it. Let's see. The next question is, if a church renounced its own righteousness, what changes might take place in the way that church relates to other churches, the secular world, and other religions? If a church renounced its own righteousness, I believe that it would lead that church to be more kind and loving in the way that it relates to other churches, the secular world, and other religions, as that body of believers would profess the doctrines of grace and encourage all they encounter to surrender any ideas of performance-based acceptance when it comes to God, and to receive God's righteousness by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Attitudes of pride and self-righteousness would fall away, as all honor and glory would be given to God for his free gift of righteousness and salvation that comes from Christ alone. The next question is, would being always hungry and thirsty for righteousness lead to action or inaction? And why? Being always hungry and thirsty for righteousness would lead to action of repentance and seeking the presence of God. When we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we would seek to crucify the flesh and its passions by renouncing and abandoning sin through confession, accountability, and change. We would seek to know God and Christ's righteousness through the Word. We would be diligent to win successive and progressive victories over sin and to draw deeper into our relationship with the Lord through prayer, Bible study, and abiding in his presence. Why? We would do all this to, you know, because righteousness comes. If we're hungry for righteousness, we go to the source. The why is God's got it. We need it. And so we would do those things, action things, to get the righteousness that we hunger and thirst for. So, the Psalm fragment for today, as they provide, is Psalm 33:4-5, which says, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. And then we move on to the journal reflections from the 40-day journey, which ask us, in what ways do you experience hungering and thirsting for righteousness in your own life? What could you do to alleviate that hunger and thirst? I experience hungering and thirsting for righteousness by examining the way I live and seek to be a good steward of what the Lord has given me by being less selfish or fleshly. I also seek righteousness by seeking to know God more through the study of God's Word and Christian resources based on God's Word, so that I can know God, understand His will for my life, and follow it. Seeking God, reading the His Word, and doing what it says helps me to alleviate my hunger and thirst for righteousness. And the next journal entry is, in what ways do you see our world hungering and thirsting for righteousness? What could your community of faith do to alleviate the hunger and that hunger and thirst? The world is hungering and thirsting for righteousness when it seeks to fix the world's problems. Unfortunately, no matter what progress the societies of this world will try to implement, they will not achieve righteousness. Communities of faith can help those in the world by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and explaining that all righteousness comes from God, and the only way we can share in it is through Jesus. And now the journey leads us to pray with its intercessions, and it asks us to think of those places and situations in our world where people suffer from unrighteousness. Pray that people of faith would say no to the suffering, no to the injustice, and then stand and work in solidarity with those who suffer for righteousness. And whenever someone tells you to ask you to pray, you pray. So let's pray. Lord God, there are many places and situations where people are suffering from unrighteousness in this world broken by sin. I pray that Christians would say no to and combat the suffering and injustice in this world by doing righteous good works directed by you, and by standing and working with those who are suffering for righteousness' sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And finally, today's prayer for today is, Lord, may your righteous kingdom come in my life and in the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, that's the 11th day of the 40-day journey with Dietrich Bonhoeffer as we move through Lent, now on day 11. We pray that you're blessed by what we're doing here, and we pray you continue with us in this journey as we'll continue all the way to Easter, where we'll finish the 40-day journey. As always, we invite you to go to mtforchrist.org, where we always share insights from prominent Christian theologians and counselors to assist my brothers and sisters in Christ with their walk. Today, we continue sharing from A.W. Pink's The Sovereignty of God. As we're in chapter 8, drawing near the end, with the fourth question that Pink presents, which asks, how can the sinner be held responsible to receive Christ and be damned for rejecting him when God foreordained him to condemnation? So these are the heavy questions of our faith and predestination and the like. So if you want to get the answer to that one, very loaded question. go to mtforchrist.org and you'll see that resource at the end of today's blog post. I'm sharing his first point and his second point, but we'll continue the answer to that question tomorrow, as it was a little bit lengthy and I wanted to keep it small, as they say. Well, it is another day in the kingdom. Well, I don't have to work. Somehow I'm running late, so that's a good thing that I don't have to work. Didn't intend to run late, but here we are. Anyway, let's pray. I'd be in the middle of my commute right now, normally. Let's pray for the day, though. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day in your kingdom. Lord, thank you for all the blessings of this life that you've given us. And Lord, most importantly, thank you for opening our eyes to the truth, of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the fact that all our righteousness comes from you. Lord, we just pray for you to go before us today, to open our eyes to the things you want us to see and lead our steps in the way we walk today, as we only want to represent you. And Lord, we pray for you to bless anyone who's listening or reading this message, that you would come alongside them in their prayer requests, Lord, that you'd fill them with your Holy Spirit and the resilience and strength that comes from you alone, and lead them into righteousness. Lord, we need all the help we can get in this walk, and we know you help us. So we ask for your presence and your guidance and your strength today as we just try to keep on walking and talking with you. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we love you. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.